Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Saturday Morning. I hope you have your coffee and hold on to your hat. We've got the head baseball coach for Lamoille Owens College, Mr. Marcus Smith. Coach Smith, welcome to Saturday Morning. How are you this morning?
Welcome. Doing great. Glad to be on your show.
It's my pleasure to have you, and we're talking, although baseball, but we're also talking life lessons learned on the baseball diamond that everybody can get something out of this program. Let's begin at the beginning. Where were you born?
I was born in College Park.
College Park, Georgia. Actually went to high school in Fayette County. My mother's side is from Fayetteville. My dad's from Miami, Florida.
Okay. And when you were growing up, what type of work did your mother do? Did she work outside of the home?
Yes, my mother, a retired nurse from Ford Motor Company.
Okay. And your father, what kind of work
he was
did?
A postal carrier.
Okay.
In the Atlanta area.
Right. Well, good. And so where did you go to elementary school?
I went to elementary school in Meadows. It's off Old National. I think it's closed now. Meadows Elementary.
Okay.
So that was off Old National, the College Park area.
All right. That's College Park, Georgia.
Right.
Okay. And how about high school again?
High school, I went to Creekside the first 2 years, and I transferred, and probably one of the better moves I ever made. I transferred there and went to Fayette County High School in Fayetteville, Georgia.
Okay.
So I did that my junior and senior year, transferred.
And how about baseball? When did you get involved in baseball?
Baseball since the age of five.
Age of five?
The age of five.
How did you get involved? Who took you, mom or your dad?
My mom and dad, because both my mom played college ball, too. So okay. We was both sports-oriented for us, the family-wise. So both of them got us involved, my brother and I, in baseball at an early age.
Okay. And so after, when did you know that you wanted to, you know, play baseball in high school and in college?
I knew right off the bat. I mean, at 5, 6 years old, I was a diehard fan. Even at 7, 8 years old, I can sit there as an 8-year-old watching TBS, Ted Turner, you know, watching the Braves. Mm-hmm. It can be a doubleheader. I was just from that point on. My mom would give me stories whereas if the Braves lose, I sit there and cry for a couple hours. I mean, I was into it. Uh-huh. I was into it. I loved the game. I loved the game.
And so when you finished high school, were the professional scouts knocking on your door saying, come play, we want to pay you money to come play baseball for?
Well, actually, when I finished high school, I tried out. At the time, I think the Braves had an organization, Single A. I think it was in Mobile, Alabama, the Single A group. I ended up going to Albany State and played baseball briefly. Okay. And went from there.
All right. And now you are a college baseball coach.
Yes.
And how is that experience?
It's been a great experience. This going to my third season as a head baseball coach. A little bit different, you know, at Morehouse and Clark Atlanta. I was assistant coach there for some years, but it's different because everything now is more time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, more responsible. Everything relies on you now. At the end of the day, you got to make those decisions. So it's been interesting. I love what I do. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Now, I noticed on your resume you did a little coaching in high school also. Where did you coach?
I coached at the Lovett School for 4 years. Will Muschamp, who coached at South Carolina, his brother Mike brought me in at Lovett. Coached there for 4 years. I coached at Dutchtown, which is in Lovejoy. I coached there for a year. I coached at Jonesboro. Coached at Clark Atlanta at Morehouse.
Okay.
And Clayton County, North Clayton High School. So,
well, let me ask you this: what thing did you learn as a teenager, young man, growing up playing baseball in the community and in high school? What one thing did you learn as a player that aids you in being a head coach of a college baseball program?
One thing that I was always taught early: never second guess. You know, when you make your decision, whatever it may be on the field or off the field, always go with your gut feeling. You know, and always be proactive, thinking ahead of what the situation may be. So just being an independent thinker, you know, always been my own man, but on the field, off the field, just being independent, making that decision. Once you make it, you know, you stick with it.
Okay. Now, who was the major driving force in your life coming up as a kid? Is there anybody in particular you looked up to? Or
I would say my parents. I would say my parents. I would say my dad, he was the guy that everybody kind of breed off in the Old National community. My dad and my mom, they was always there, supporter for us. We spent our weekends at the park. I mean, we was the family everybody wanted to hang out with us.
Okay.
You know, so I would say my parents were very instrumental to what I'm doing today.
And so now, how did you get into the college coaching ranks?
I started out, I think, when I was at Lovett. It was my fourth year at Lovett. And they wanted me to come back, and I said, well, I want to kind of tap in the college world. You know, and I hate to leave it Love at the time because it was a great experience. I said, I want to kind of step up. So I ended up going to Clark, Atlanta, and actually the coach at Tuskegee, Kevin Powell, he gave my first opportunity. He's a defensive coordinator at Tuskegee.
Right.
So he gave my first opportunity at Clark, Atlanta in 2007. So that's what I always wanted to do, get in the college ranks and kind of move up. And then just do the abnormal. My thing is when you're coaching in HBCU baseball, I want to get outside the box. Let's think outside the box. What I mean by that is in the SIC, you know, we get so content in the conference, let's make it better than what it was outside the conference. So I don't mean we have to be content within the conference. Let's get better. You know, we can always compete with schools outside, but it takes time to build.
Were you, this past baseball season, you had a number of larger schools who outside of your conference that you played this past year, right?
Yes.
Who were some of those schools?
We played Eastern New Mexico. And who else we played? We played North Alabama. Mm-hmm. North Alabama. And then we had actually we had Jackson State, actually a year ago. So we have a few tough Division II opponents.
Are they on your schedule again this year?
Yeah, this year we have Alabama Huntsville. They're usually one of your stronger teams. And then we have Arkansas Pine Bluffers, which is that classic we got coming up, which is going to be an annual event at AutoZone in Memphis.
Okay, tell them about the classic. That's going to take place around April the 4th.
It's April the 2nd. It's called the Diamond Blue City Classic. It's going to be an inaugural event. It's going to consist of us and also Lane College, where it's a SWAC versus SIC school.
Okay.
It's not only going to consist of baseball, but it's going to be workshops where you're going to have SAT workshops. We're actually going to have a gospel concert that Sunday. We're going to have a coach's clinic. So it's just beyond athletics parts, academic also. So that's going to be good exposure not only for the program, but for the city of Memphis, getting the inner city back.
Who's sponsoring this?
This is Prentice Hill, located in Chicago, who's over the program. Mm-hmm. So we kind of merged together and came with this idea. So I think that would be big. And not only that, it would be a good recruiting tool, knowing that every year you got a D1 opponent, you play in an AutoZone, the AAA, the Cardinals affiliation. So that's big. That's
okay.
Big. That's right. Big. That's going to be huge.
All right, now, I watched your team play this past spring in an exciting championship series that was held, hosted by the Southern Collegiate Athletic Conference down in Augusta, Georgia. Now, you finished the regular season 4-22
right,
in your
right.
conference. You won two non-conference games.
Right.
So your team, going into the tournament, had won 6 games all year, lost over 20.
Sure.
So, tell me, how did you become eligible to play in the conference championship series?
Well, first of all, those games we lost, if you look at 10 to 15 games, you look back and scroll, a lot of them games were 1 point, 2 point differential.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them was close ball games. We'll let you know we had that 1 or 2 innings breakdown. A lot of close ball games. And also, I look back and I said, well, if it was close ball games, I put it on me. It was something I wasn't doing. I put the blame on me. I said, let me scroll back. What am I doing? When you're losing by 1 or 2 points, I felt like it was something maybe I wasn't doing, maybe personnel or things like that, or how should I approach that situation? And I did make some changes.
Okay.
I made some changes personnel-wise. We started becoming more aggressive. Mm-hmm. So I changed my style of play according to my personnel. And I told them, guys, you know, all we got to do is get in the tournament. We get in the tournament, and I lead you the way. My job as a head coach is to put you guys in position to succeed. Allow me to do that. If you allow me to do that, you guys succeed. So, I mean, basically we got in there. We ended up winning. We swept Lane. That was the big series we had to do, the sweep Lane. And that kind of got us in there at the last seed. But we started playing better baseball towards the end. We played Payne. We started gelling together.
Okay.
So we was always there. It was just a few innings here and there, you know. So things started just gelling together, and one thing led from another. I think the guys played better. It's like they played better away from the home field. I don't know what it was like by a neutral site.
Okay.
But those guys, I mean, I had 14 guys. And when I say they gave everything that I had, they gave everything that they had.
So when you swept Lane at the end of the season, that game was played in Jackson?
No, it was played in
Memphis, in Europe?
No, it was played in Jackson.
Okay, at Lane.
It was played in Jackson. So that was the drawing point, and it was just a great experience because it was very unique because at the time, I don't think the president, she didn't know until maybe like the championship the day of.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody really didn't know. You know, we were just quietly going along. You know, NCAA president, he had talked to me. He said, where are you guys from? Because everybody knew about Tuskegee. Everybody knew about Morehouse. But Lemoyne, it really wasn't on the map. It really wasn't on the map. So,
well, tell me about Lemoyne.
Lemoyne is it was in 1868. It's a private liberal arts school. Consists of majors education, business, accounting. Now we got a cybersecurity program. We just got on board. We offer a bachelor's degree. Okay. We got enrollment right at probably about 920, 930. Goes to get up to 1,000. Trying to see what else. We Dr. Miller just got on board. Same time I got there, 3 years. So she got on board during the same time frame I was there. So we got a lot of changes too with administration and everything. So we're going in the right direction.
You've had three big city mayors to come out of Lemoyne, yep, Owens, right?
Yep, we did. We did. We did. We did. So
so you had like Marion Barry.
Yep.
Is a graduate of Lemoyne Owens.
Right.
Okay. And the first black mayor of city of Memphis. I can't call his name right now.
Mayor Harrington. Mayor Harrington. Yes.
And then my wife's cousin, Lindsay Porter. Lindsay,
okay,
Porter also is a graduate.
Wow.
Played,
okay,
played baseball at Lemoyne.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
He was a mayor in town outside of Detroit.
Okay.
So Lemoyne Owens has been very productive in steering people in leadership positions in our community. So now, what did you learn? At least, what did you tell your players? I think you dropped your first game in the championship series. So what did you tell your players? You know, so you've come this far. You lose your first game by 10 runs against Albany State.
It
doesn't look like you're going to go anywhere.
It didn't. We lost the first game, I think, over 10 runs. And at that point, I was still positive. I think what helped us out, we had a rain delay.
Okay.
We had a rain delay. So that gave me time. Actually, before I made that call, I called a couple of colleagues back in Atlanta. I sat in my hotel room. Actually, I didn't get no whole sleep the whole weekend. I called a couple of colleagues. I was giving them suggestions. What should I do? This and that. And then he said, Smith, he said, have you ever talked to those guys, like, individually, really soul searching, talking to those guys about, you know, what's their role and what have you. So basically what I did, I called those guys up. I had 14 on the roster, so we had time. So I spent like an hour each one of them. An hour. We sat there on my bed, had all my assistant coaches there. And we'll prep up before we talk to each individual, you know, how we approach the situation. I talked to all the guys. They came up there, basically asked them how they feel about being here. This is our first time. Not just for that, for the staff and everybody else. You know, first time. The second thing I asked them was, do you know what your role is? Let's get that clear. Do you know what your role is in this given time for us to be successful? And most of us on the same page. I had one senior. He said, Coach, I beg to differ you. You know, I think I should be playing more. I said, that's fine. I respect that. But at the time, we going with this. Until this day, that was Robert Shear. He made all-tournament team. And he come out today. He said, Coach, I really respect. I see what you was. I said, that's why I'm the head coach, you know. But we was on the same page. And I knew we had Payne. I think we played Payne. I don't know if that pain on that second game, but I felt good about going in after Albany State.
Actually, it was Tuskegee. Second game.
It was Tuskegee.
Tuskegee,
right,
had,
it was Tuskegee.
Had played probably the game of the season for them,
right,
because they played Benedict,
right,
from South Carolina.
Right.
But the weekend before, the last weekend series of the season,
right,
Benedict scored about, in a three-game series, scored 44 runs, got about 50
they
or
did.
60 hits against Tuskegee.
They did.
And Tuskegee takes them in the tournament 4-2.
They did.
So what the problem that Tuskegee had going into that series, seemingly they had righted it.
Yep.
And then they get you,
yep,
in their second game, yep, and you got to fight your way up out, yeah, of the losers bracket.
Yep. We got to fight our way. The guys, one thing about it, we always stay loose. You know what I'm saying? We always stayed loose. Never, you know, my style of managing, never had any pressure on them. Tell them guys, go out there and have fun. You know what I'm saying? You make mistakes, it's going to happen. But those guys always had fun around me and everything. They was always loose. But we didn't have anything to lose.
Okay.
You know, what do we have to lose? What do we have to lose? And then, you know, we went on a tear. We was aggressive. I gave those guys the green light. That's one thing about it. We was aggressive. We weren't passive like we was during the beginning of the other year. We was always on the same page, decision-making process. We always on the same page as far as decision being made. It's funny because before each game, you know how they say speaking of existence? I'm serious. For each game, I lay down in my hotel room, and I spoke about how I was going to approach each situation. And I kid you not, every situation came up. When I lay down in the bed, I was talking to my assistant coach, this is how I would approach that if this happened. This is how I approach that. And those situations came into effect. When Tuskegee came up, the first baseman, I said, if he come up in a situation, I got to put him on.
Ricky.
You remember the situation came up? I had to put Ricky on.
Power hitter.
And it came up. I had to put him on. So every situation, it was like a chess match. I had to be proactive. You know, looking at it, I got 14 guys, so I got to be thinking ahead. So I was thinking ahead of every situation. How would I approach that situation? I had to really monitor my arms. You know, I had to move some guys around, mm-hmm. and those guys they played for me. I mean, it was remarkable. It was remarkable, remarkable. I was able to do it within two seasons.
This is the story of a boy who is very sensitive to lights and sounds. So he built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. The boy didn't like looking people in the eye. It made him feel uncomfortable. One day, he found out he had something called autism. His family got him help. And slowly, he learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
Hart, what's going on?
I'm leaving.
Why? What did I do?
Not enough. You constantly ignore me. You barely eat anything healthy. You're half as active as you used to be. The pressure is just too much. I quit.
Okay, I get it. I'll do better. Just please, don't leave.
Okay. But remember, if I go, you go.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Uncontrolled high blood pressure could lead to stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range before it's too late.
Let me ask you, what do you think? You play into the championship series, and actually you have Miles College up most of the game.
We did,
and
too.
I think they sort of come at, scored a run or two to go ahead in the seventh inning, and you sort of ran out of steam. But what a wonderful run you made through that tournament to get in order for you to participate in the championship game. So, like, what did your kids learn?
Well, one thing they learned is. One thing about it is anything, if you just keep fighting, you know, anything is possible.
Okay.
Anything is possible, and persevering is going to pay off. If you keep grinding, one thing I told about them guys is that, you know, you never give up. You never give up. And one thing I think was the key to success was, by me being a young coach, I never gave up on them. You got a lot of young coaches would have threw in the towel early, been discouraged. But I never gave up. I was always positive. Because I always seen the daylight, the tunnel at the end. So I always stayed positive. Never changed my routine. Always came upbeat. Early practice, burn that oil, late night, come in my office. They saw how hard I worked. And I never changed. You know, I never changed. That's been my mentality all the time. I mean, I'm just always, you know, a hard worker. So they felt like, I think at times they said, Coach, we couldn't let you down. I think we lost the championship game. They was really discouraged because they saw. I said, well, you know, everything happened for a reason.
Okay, now you're coming to the tournament. You've got hotel accommodations for 2 days.
Right.
You've got a limited amount of money for a couple of days for meals and so forth, and to wash your uniforms.
Right, I didn't know you knew about that.
But now your team catches fire.
Yeah.
And you're running out of money.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened? How did you handle that problem? How did you get over that?
I'm going to be honest with you. I did the requisition I set up till Sunday, and I learned from that, too. That's a lesson I learned, too. I always do it to the day of. I didn't know. You know, it caught me off guard. We played until Sunday, and luckily, we was prepared. I called the AD, and I was looking prepared because I had school credit card work. So I was prepared for the extra day. I said, well, Claire, he said, well, Mark, I wasn't prepared. You know, I wasn't prepared. It threw me off. So the thing about it, we had ran out of money. You know, ran out of damn money. But luckily, I had the school credit card for that next following day. But we weren't able to wash uniforms. And luckily, angels was around us because we had the lady at the hotel. She ended up washing our clothes. Because we ran out of money. We played literally 3 games in 24 hours. That Saturday game was a 9 o'clock game, I think, mm-hmm. Saturday. Then we had to play at... I think 8 o'clock that was Saturday morning, then 12 or 1 o'clock that day. So the 3 games within 24 hours. So we didn't have time to lay down. We didn't have time. We basically had to throw the clothes back on and keep moving. We didn't have no time. We got back in at 1 o'clock, and luckily the bus driver too had to give credit to him because he was nice enough. He was up all night. We had him going. We had him going to trainer. I can't forget Jesse, Miss Howell. She did a great job. She did a good job of keeping them guys at Baker. They was wounded. Some of them guys. They was.
Yeah.
They was. She kept them going. You know, she kept them going. So, It was just unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I didn't get any sleep the whole time. I think the seniors we had, they cried, man. They said, Coach, we never experienced this throughout our whole career, just to even get a taste of winning. Because I had to get them out of that mentality. For so long, they've been used to just, it is what it is, and that's not true. You can change it. You can change it. It's been so long, they're going through the motion, how things. I changed that whole culture from academics. So on the field.
So what's the average GPA at average of your team?
It's close to a 3, 2.8, 2.9, which has came a long way. When I first got there, they were just trying to find bodies. They had basketball players filling in. They were just trying to find bodies just to go on the roster. When I first got there, I kid you not, I told my mom, she joked, they didn't have any pitching machines. They didn't have any cages. They had one or two bucket of balls, and those weren't even great balls. I said, wow. I said, it's certain things you got to have to run a program. So, the sponsor's been big since we had that run. We had Applebee's, crowd therapy, a lot of companies. So, the money's coming in now. Money's coming in. So, sponsorships is big. You know, it's big now for us. So, you know, when I tell the guys, they say, wow, they couldn't believe it. Yeah, we didn't have those things. We didn't have nothing, Mike. I kid you not. We didn't have certain things you just got to have to be productive.
Right.
And we didn't have it. So, since we got there, I got a cage on campus. I got a cage off campus. I got abundance equipment. I got sponsors coming in, quality players, student athletes.
Good.
Because that's one thing I'm looking at, character. You know, that's big to me. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at I on the field, that's second. First thing I'm looking at is your character makeup, because that's big to me, because you're representing school and you're representing me. If you don't fulfill those things, you won't last with me. You just won't. You just won't.
So, okay. So where do you recruit your players?
When?
Where?
Oh, where? Virgin Islands, I got a pipeline in Virgin Islands, Atlanta, Chicago, some Miami. It's pretty much spread all the way around, because I think what's interesting, when you look at our roster, especially locally in Memphis, when they look at our roster, I think when they see these Virgin Island kids, they say, well, limited resource, this scholarship. First of all, where is he getting these kids to come to Lemoyne? I mean, that's what they're thinking.
Okay.
You know, for the ones who don't really know me around the area, but the ones who know me in the Atlanta area, they know the pipelines I have. But the ones in Memphis, they don't really quite know me, so they're trying to figure out, how is he getting these players? But a lot of them just off relationships.
Well, they're going to know from this program how you're getting
right,
them.
Right, right.
Because we go all over the world.
Right, right. We go right, right, right. So Marquise Grissom, Lenny Webster, C.J. Stewart, Timothy Beckham. Timmy Money, Edwin Thompson, who's the coach of East Kentucky, he sent me guys. So these are all the pipelines that I have. So it makes my job easier.
Okay.
You know, so.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, it looks like the lesson I've gotten from you today is that anytime you have a project, you got to dream it.
Right.
You got to make the mental picture of what you want the outcome to be, and then you go to work. And when those situations come up in life, you already have the plan mapped out as to how that situation is going to turn out. So it's been great talking with you, Coach. Thanks for dropping by Saturday morning. And we wish you all the success in the world this coming season in the SIAC, except, of course, when you play the Tuskegee Golden.
Right, okay. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate my wife, Dr. Juanita Smith. She also been very supportive for me along the way, too.
She's probably off camera, but she's here and in support of her husband.
Right.
Take care,
Coach. Okay, thank you.
My pleasure.